Hollywood is coming to Massachusetts, ladies and gentlemen.
We are duly appointed federal marshals.
But during your stay, you will obey protocol. Gentlemen, welcome to Shutter Island.
Welcome to Shutter Island, and welcome to Massachusetts, where since 2006, tax incentives have been luring movie makers like Martin Scorsese, apparently looking to save some money. But since then, nearly 40 major films have been shot in the state of Massachusetts. A number of other states have adopted similar programs, too, as the competition for film companies grows. But there's a question about whether they're costing taxpayers more than they're actually bringing into the public coffers. Now, in a moment, we'll hear from Joe Maiella. He's president of the Massachusetts Production Coalition. But first, we're joined by Joan Fitzgerald. She's the director and a professor of the graduate program at the Northeastern University, at the Law Center at Northeastern University. She's crunched some numbers on the policy. Joan, good morning. I'm thinking of movies like Good Will Hunting, Mystic River 2003, set in South Boston. Now we have Shutter Island coming out with Leonardo DiCaprio, all set in Boston, in or around Boston. You're saying this is not a moneymaker for Massachusetts. Why not?
Well, let's start with the Massachusetts Department of Revenue's own study. It showed that Massachusetts spent about $94,000 in credits per full-time job created. Thing is, those jobs are temporary jobs. So even if someone's making $68,000 with benefits, that's good, but they're temporary and they're paying more per job than is being generated. Or you can measure the success in tax revenues generated. Massachusetts gets about 16 cents on every dollar it invests. So as more states start offering subsidies, and now I think it's up to 46 do, the amount of competition for a limited number of projects intensifies. So each state ups the ante. We've gone from sales tax exemptions to income tax credits to interest-free loans. And so what we're starting to see now is that many states that jumped in early are cutting back because their studies are showing it's not paying off. Good job.
Well, Joan Fitzgerald.
Yes.
I just want you to hear from Richard Cambria from Rehoboth, Massachusetts. Yesterday, one of our producers talked with Richard Cambria. He recently worked on the set of Night and Day with Tom Cruise and Cameron Diaz. Now, he was out of work until he got hired on a film. And listen to what he has to say. Listen to this.
In the winter of 2007, construction just went completely dead in my area, and I got laid off. And a friend of mine told me he could get me a job as a film industry prop maker and ended up with a good job that filled the hole of having no construction work in Massachusetts. And without this job, I would have been in dire straits.
Now, there's Joan Fitzgerald, there's one worker who got a job on a film set and said he would have been in dire straits, but you're saying one worker does not make good policy.
Right. From the perspective of a worker who got one of the jobs on a production set, of course, it means the difference between paying a mortgage or not. I get that. But it's a different question for the state. It's under what conditions should the public sector subsidize the private sector to create jobs? And I would argue that the conditions are when you're laying the groundwork for future rounds of economic development. Not when you are subsidizing temporary jobs. 40% of those jobs, of the wages being subsidized, are to people who live outside the state.
All right. Well,
so
let me turn to
short-term measure.
Let me turn to Joe Maiella because he's president of the Massachusetts Production Coalition. Joe, I've got a good sense that you're going to strongly disagree here.
What makes you think that?
Well, go ahead.
Well, look, you know, the points that we want to make and make clear is that over the last 4 years, this program has brought in $1.069 billion of new direct spending into the Commonwealth at a time when Massachusetts needed it the most. The jobs increase during that period has been 117%. When total state employment has been on the decline, we know, and the reports, including the UMass reports, say that for every new job that this generates, it generates 0.79 other new jobs. For every new dollar it generates, about 95% of additional new spending is generated. The benefits to cities and towns not even counted in the DOR report include things like almost $1 million directly to Essex in both infrastructure improvements as well as location fees paid to the town, allowed them to put $150,000 into their stabilization fund and to help avoid an override
But Joe Maiella, it sounds like Joan Fitzgerald's point is all those numbers are well and good, but that they're not as effective as other kinds of stimulus, and you could create many more jobs much more cheaply without doing it in the film industry.
What we know and what we've seen and what the DOR reports as well is that unlike other tax credits, this program actually requires people who are coming into the Commonwealth to spend their money first before any tax credits are issued. That's unlike other tax programs where you put the money out there first for the promise of new jobs. And we've seen other sectors where the money has gone out and those new jobs have never arrived. So we see this as a very responsible way of getting the benefit of all of that new direct spending first before any tax credits are issued. And in fact, over the first 3 years of the program, even though, you know, you're judging it on, some of our critics will judge it just on tax revenue generated, that's an upside down analysis. This program was never designed to generate more tax revenue than the investment being made.
That's the analysis. We love the films. You guys worry about the money. Joe Maiella, president of the Massachusetts Production Coalition, joined us. Joan Fitzgerald from Northeastern University. Thanks to you both.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.